Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Welcome in on a Victory Monday. It's Grant and Danny on The Fan. The Commanders went out to L.A. and got a much-needed victory over the Chargers, 27-10. Down 10-0, they scored 27 unanswered points to get their first road win of the season. As we welcome you in, we should let you know that at 4 o'clock today, we're giving away tickets to see My Chemical Romance at Nationals Park this weekend, right here on Grant and Danny. That's 2 hours from now if you want to win those tickets. And Jay Gruden, former head coach in town, will be on the show with a film breakdown of what he saw from the big 17-point road victory. Jay stops by at 5 o'clock today on The Fan. Danny, this was the Bill game. Jacory Kroski-Merritt, who joins us tomorrow at 5 p.m., his first 100-yard game. He was magnificent. And this was the putting to bed of any conversation about Jaden Daniels' knee game. He went back home to California, and as the game went on, he got better and better. I thought he was great in the second half. Looked like Jaden Daniels of a year ago, and Washington got the win they needed.
As the game progressed, Jaden Daniels, he's back. No worries. Thank you so much. My fears are at ease. Knee brace, no knee brace, I don't care. He's awesome. He's wonderful. You saw it. He got his sea legs underneath him. I thought it would take a couple of weeks of playing. It took a half of playing, and then he got going. I mean, to me, the story of this one, you mentioned things that are correct. I'm not disputing any of the facts that you just laid out. They're down 10-0. The Chargers are just jogging down the field, taking their sweet-ass time, hitting open receivers, running the offense, doing the thing on a collision course with 17-0. This was on a 16-yard pass, by the way. Everybody's open. Justin Herbert started 12 for 14 in the game. Just over 100 yards. There was a negative play in there. But, you know, a couple of bits of pressure, it didn't matter. Everyone was open all the time. The fumble. The Quan Martin big hit forces the fumble. Marshawn Lattimore, a couple of guys, frankly, that have been maligned by me and a lot of the folks in the fan base who have not played particularly well, Lattimore especially, recovers the fumble. Next thing you know, you got a football game. 27 unanswered after that. There's another turnover there where they responded to Bill's fumble, which we'll talk about as the show goes. But that moment changed that game. And you don't know if it's a LeVar Arrington interception against Carolina that turned their season around. I have no idea if it's a season turner. I know that was a game turner, and now they're 3-2, and that was the moment where everything turned.
Yeah, that some days you look back and you go, what was the turning point of the game? And there's two or three you can debate. That was pretty clearly the moment that changed the whole day. The specifics were that the Chargers, as you said, were up 10-0. There was 8 minutes and 53 seconds left in the second quarter, and they were about to have a 1st and 10 from the Washington 22 in plus territory. So even if you run three plays, the drive stalls, you kick a field goal there, and let's say you go up 13-0, the Commanders are getting the ball back down 13 with somewhere around 5 and change, you know, 6 minutes left in the half, still having done almost nothing on offense. But instead of 17-0 because they go on to score, or just, let's just call it what it would have been, 10-0, 1st and 10 at the mouth of the red zone, with Herbert at that point having been 10 of 12 for 94 yards and a touchdown, you get the football and you go down the field and you score a touchdown on the ensuing drive. They immediately commit to the running game and they get going and they go get points. And so instead of 17-0, it's 10-7. Really an amazing sequence for Washington. I want to give credit, too, on that play to Trey Amos. Big-time hustle, kind of coming from the backside, chasing down the play. he was in trail, and he was like running as hard as he could to get over there. And I don't know if he had anything to do with the fumble, but he's also punching at the arm as the ball's coming out with the Quan Martin forced fumble and the Marshawn Lattimore recovery. But I thought that was really, really big. And then three plays after that, because the Commanders, it's not like they right away
no
went down the field.
They were still self-sabotaging, still doing the normal, we don't have our feet underneath us.
Third and 16, I thought, was massive.
Huge.
As well.
Yep.
On second and 11, right before that, they get a look there. They want, I think, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, with Jalen Lane crossing a couple windows. And for some reason, I thought Daniels early in the game, hadn't played in a couple of weeks. Obviously, the first two games he played were not at the level of last year. We've talked a lot about that. But I thought at the very beginning of this game, timid might not be the right word, but like he had to see it open, was kind of a little more hesitant than he was at times last year, and as he was as the game went on. But on that second of 11, and 11, Brady actually points it out, where he's like, he's open. He throws him too late, and he throws it wide of him, and Lane can't make the catch. The next play, because there was a penalty in between,
yep,
was a third and 16, and Daniels rips a seam ball into Jalen Lane in a really tight window. Lane makes a great catch, taken on contact, kind of a body catch, gets knocked to the ground. Better throw than catch, but both are good. And you get a first down. You need 16 on third, and you get 16 against one of the best defenses in the league. Such a low percentage play, Danny. How often do you convert that? That gets them going, and now you go on to score on that drive. Shortly thereafter, Daniels had this awesome play where he gets away from pressure, and instead of trying to run like he had earlier in the game, he kind of flips his eyes upfield and finds Deebo Samuel wide open and throws downfield to him for a big chunk. And then that's when they go back-to-back for the final 24 yards of the drive, 9 and 15 respectively, to Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt for the first of two walk-in touchdowns where he was not touched
no
in this game. I thought they blocked really well for him. There have been games where like he's getting hit in the backfield and he's still getting yards. He had more yards before contact than he's had at any point this season, one of the highest totals of any back in the league. I think right around 59 yards before contact in this game, including both of the touchdowns where he never got touched.
And he's got that, you know, a couple of the things that they talk about, football insiders do, where he gets skinny going through holes at times. There's the verb that I use for his running style when he's going, there's a slither to it. It's got a little Le'Veon Bell, a little Alvin Kamara to it, where he's kind of skating almost, right? Where he's able to, you know, to get skinny and go sideways. Then when it's explode time, he does it as good as anybody. I mean, you mentioned it. The step up to get the linebackers to freeze before you can bounce it outside. And it's not like a, attention, everyone, signaling left. I'm moving outside now. There's a burst there where they're still flat-footed, and he, you know, is able to jog in because of it. He's you know, moving after contact. I mean, a splendid game for him. I mean, he was awesome in that one. The fumble, when he comes on tomorrow, we'll ask him about it. That was a tough play because they had momentum at that moment. Credit to the defense, Johnny Newton, for getting a paw on the football to cause the turnover on the other end. But that was a potential catastrophic moment. But this felt like last year, where negative thing happens, that's fine. You just sort of swat it away. Like, it's not a big deal. The swim move, we'll go right past it. Something good's happening again because we got Jaden Daniels back, and now the magic's on our side.
How about Johnny Newton with the sack and the tip on the interception? Couple of huge plays for the second-round pick. Luke McCaffrey makes a 50-yard diving catch in this game. The concentration on that play was unbelievable. Great throw from Daniels. Let's start with that. You know that ball was in the air for 57 yards? You can't throw. It was thrown perfectly, and it takes an unbelievable catch. But when you got a defender draped around you, like Dante Jackson was on Luke McCaffrey, that's what it takes.
Like, everything about that play was great. Great coverage.
Yeah.
Great job staying with McCaffrey. Unbelievable, on McCaffrey's part. I don't know how he hauled that thing in with Jackson all over him. The ball couldn't have been stopped. Time couldn't have been paused, and he couldn't have walked it out there and placed it better. Just out of the reach of the defender, in the reach of McCaffrey.
Yeah, but that was kind of the theme of the day. When they needed a young guy to do something and step up, they didn't get a ton of opportunities. But you had the 3rd and 16 conversion for Lane. You had the 50-yard catch for Luke McCaffrey. Tay Martin ran through a couple tackles on his lone catch for 9 yards to set up a first down. Defensively, we saw more Jordan McGee than we've seen at any point. He made a really nice play in the backfield for a TFL on the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
He had a blitz at one point where he was shot out of a cannon, looked like Bobby Wagner, but with more speed, and he just came downhill and flushed Justin Herbert into some bodies and for a sack on the play, even though he didn't get it. I think it was the Newton sack, maybe. And he also, in space at one point, on a throw to the flat, sound familiar, came flying across the formation to get his hand on a foot, and it would have been a much bigger play. It was still like a 6 or 7 yard catch, but he made a tackle that I don't know that their other linebackers can make in terms of the speed at the second level. So you saw him flashing like a strobe light. I thought overall, like, that contribution that you got in these spurts, these moments from some of their younger, lesser experienced guys, and the star of the day obviously being their rookie seventh round pick, Jacory Kroski Merritt, makes you feel pretty good for this team that is the oldest in the league and considered problematic for its age. There were some really significant contributions turned in by the kids.
Without a doubt. And you don't win this game without it. I mean, the combo, finally, of that pass rush getting home, Dorrance Armstrong had another couple sacks, Von Miller in on a couple, ended up credited with 1.5. Johnny Newton got his sack, as you mentioned. That was pivotal, but some of the pressure that you knew was going to, or you hoped you knew, was going to be available with this beat-up makeshift offensive line that even lost some more guys during the game, and that's what has to happen.
How bad is the Chargers line?
It's horrendous. And it got worse when, guys are shuttling in and out this past weekend, too.
So that was the other thing. They start the game with backups at 3 positions. They finish the game with third stringers at a couple positions. So this was a blood in the water. Someone's got to be a shark.
It has to happen.
It just needs to. And to their credit, it did. I think 10 quarterback hits. Herbert, who I came away blown away by. I mean, his arm talent is elite, special. And how many times did he do something that got erased by the terribleness around him? There was quite literally, this is the symbolic element that I'm talking about. In the middle of the third quarter, the Chargers are down 17-10 with the ball. And you go, if they could just not shoot themselves in the foot, they're probably going to go tie the game, unfortunately. Because I don't know about you, I didn't have a ton of confidence, as well as the defense was playing and the plays they were making, that they were going to defend on the back end.
No.
And Herbert wasn't, if they just bought time or moved the pocket or whatever, that he wasn't going to be able to find somebody. So they sack him, and it's a 2nd and 19. He gets a 24-yard completion. There's never been a worse team over the last couple of weeks than what Washington's been on 2nd and a mile. 19 yards needed on 2nd down. They gave up 24 yards. There's a penalty on the play. Hold. So now it's 2nd and 29, and you go, okay, finally. You got the break you needed. The drive's over. Then they get 31 yards on 2nd and 29. Again, I've never seen anything like this with what they give up on 2nd and long. But don't worry. There was a penalty on that play, too, because one of the
illegal formation
backup linemen wasn't where he was supposed to be, I think, on the line of scrimmage or whatever. And so now that on 3rd and, I think it was 33 after that or something, they just handed the ball off and said, we're just going to go home.
Which I wouldn't have done, by the way. I would have tried it again because everybody's open and you had a completion both times.
The problem was they were almost in the end zone.
Well, there's that, yeah.
So if you hold in the end zone, which they're going to do, or something terrible happens, now it's potential safety. So you just had to basically live to fight another day. But yeah, that was one of those sequences where it's probably more bad Chargers than good Washington. Well, but so be it. Accept the gift and make it work.
Well,
and
speaking
Washington
of that,
did.
How about a punt return for a touchdown? That was a touchdown, except something that, the guy didn't have to do. I mean, I know he's going out for the punt block, but it seems there was a punt return on as well. And if you just don't do that, if you pull up or do anything else, that's a touchdown that would probably have changed that game.
So yeah, here's that end of half sequence. Because I agree with you. I think the Quan Martin forced fumble is what changed the whole game. Instead of the 17-0 discrepancy that they were staring down the barrel of, as we talked about, you get the ball back, you finally get your offense going, you quell their momentum and get some of your own, and it's a 3-point game. But the end of the half told the whole story of the day, I thought. So just to go through that sequence, Washington makes a stop and gets the ball back with 1:35 to go in the half. It's a 1st and 10 from their own 7-yard line. I loved being aggressive there because you've got timeouts, and you've got Jaden Daniels. So you might as well see if he could scramble, if they're playing man and you're running some deeper routes, if he could go get 10, 12, slide, get out of bounds, whatever, you could pick up some chunks on the ground. Well, on 1st and 10 from the 7 with 1:35 to go in the half, Daniels gets what he's looking for. Ertz is open middle of the field. He sails him. He misses him. So now it's a 2nd and 10 from the 7, but only 3 seconds went off the clock. 1:32 to go. Again, I have no problem there trying to throw the football because he stopped the clock. All the same things are still true. He takes the sack, and they lose 5 yards there. And so, with about 1:25 to go in the half, the Chargers, before a 3rd and 15, could have called a timeout and didn't. Did not understand that. Not sure what Jim Harbaugh was doing. But they elect to have Washington run the clock down the 40 seconds or whatever and to run their 3rd and 15 play. And so Washington, on 3rd and 15 from the 2, here's where I did have an issue, Danny. I think that's got to be a run. Because if you run it there, then you force the Chargers to either decide they're going into the half and not trying to get the ball back at midfield or whatever, which they wouldn't have done, or at least burn their final timeout to make their final drive a little harder.
Or even like an option pass or something short and simple and easy, but they were trying to get the chunk.
They were, absolutely. Yeah. And they thought they could get more than 15 against one of the better defenses in the league on 3rd and 15, which sounds crazy, but they did get a 3rd and 16, as we talked about earlier in the half, to Jalen Lane, so maybe they saw something they liked. I just think when you're at your own 2-yard line, catastrophe can happen there. And so I would have just run the football straight ahead, gotten 2 yards, and punted on 4th and 13 with a little more space for Tress. They didn't do that. On that 3rd and 15, has anyone seen how close that was to a sack fumble in the end zone? The edge coming from the backside of Jaden Daniels off of the right side of the defense, left side of the offense, is within, I don't know, 10 inches from swatting the ball out of Daniels' hand on that incompletion on 3rd and 15. Have you noticed that?
I didn't, in real time.
I posted it at Grant H. Paulson if you want to go look. But it is a near sack fumble. At best, a safety. At worst, a touchdown for the Chargers. Game of inches, right? No harm, no foul. 4th and 15, incomplete. You get to punt. Now you punt, and Ladd McConkey returns at 57 yards for a touchdown. But wait, instead of the 17-17 scoreboard, as you said, you rough the punter. Washington converts a 4th and 15 with a 15-yard penalty on the nose. And the next play is the 50-yarder to McCaffrey, which was 57 yards in the air, perfectly thrown with Jackson wrapped around him. And then the next play, I think a throw out of bounds. And then one after that, he hits Debo on that deep over. That was beautiful. And the time he had on that play, the pass pro, both on the 50-yarder, that takes forever to develop. Same with, I mean, Debo comes from the right side of the formation, like a deep corner to the left, basically, all the way across the field, has nothing but time. So everybody did their job, and they're able to kick the field goal, and it's 10-10 going to the half. When we just saw the scoreboard say 16-7.
A 10-point swing right there. And again, it's not one of those kind of penalties where the hold on the kick return or the punt return allowed the touchdown, where you go, well, yeah, well, they screwed up or they cheated. That had nothing to do with the play. The punt is out of Tressway's hands, so to speak. It's off his foot. And 1-1000, then your roughing happens. The blocking, the execution, the McConkey return, the great play that he makes has nothing to do with that play. So it's not one of those... Washington actually did everything right, and you know the other team cheated. They didn't really do anything. That was the other team messing up.
It's good fortune though. Yeah, it happens sometimes. I mean, the Chargers got one of their touchdowns after Mikey Sanders still inexplicably jumps off sides
right up on that
one. A 4th and 5 field goal attempt. That seems inexplicable, unforgivable, terrible. Now I will say, in Mikey's defense, second straight game with an interception that he was able to haul in at the goal line. And if he cost you 4 points on the opening drive, he got you 6 back or whatever that would have been, right?
He's a +2.
So, yeah, overall hockey style, in the game, I think you'll take that. And for a team that has been struggling to get takeaways, he's got 2 of the 3 on the season and 2 of the 3 in the last couple of weeks. But overall, I guess, you know, we can go through some of those plays in the first half that were good fortune or bad Chargers or whatever. It needs to be said, as the game went on, this was good Washington. Like, Jaden Daniels looked like he did last year.
Once that door opened, they sprinted through it and everyone got to go.
And they just started knocking people down, like the tag in a tag team match in WWE where you're like, give me the tag, give me the tag, give me the tag. And you're like dying in the middle of the ring and you're trying to get over there. As soon as basically they got their feet under them at 10-10, they just started cleaning house and throwing everybody out of the ring in the Rumble. And I think Daniels' play was a big part of that. When's the last time this team could run the ball this effectively? I mean, they are gashing people. And Ja'Cory Cross-Kemaret, who will be on the show tomorrow at 5 p.m. for Tuesdays with Bill, he's a big part of this, but it doesn't really matter who it is. Like, there is so much room. They are kicking people's butt in the run game up front. And one other guy we haven't really mentioned that we should. Remember when everyone said Deebo Samuel was washed? I do remember that. The story in minicamp was how fat he looked or slow he looked or something stupid. I don't remember what people were saying. I don't play body language games. I don't play when you're jogging at practice, you know, what it looks like you are games. But 8 for 96 and a touchdown. Nobody else on a day without Terry McLaurin had more than 2 targets. He had 11. This passing game goes through Deebo. And that's a good thing because he is a heck of a football
player. It's a great fit. And, you know, the touchdown late, that was just everything about it was perfect. Daniels moving against the blitz, bought himself just enough time. You couldn't have walked it over there better. Just perfect. Samuel toe tap in the corner. It felt right.
Here's a topic for another day. Put a pin in this one, Darius. I remember a few times during the Terry McLaurin standoff saying, you can't pay Deebo after not paying Terry. because Debo's going to be a little bit older. Your whole point with McLaurin is age. The way they use Debo and how important he is to this offense, I think they're going to pay Debo after not paying Terry. So saddle up for that. But that's another topic for another day, and we don't need to cover it on the Monday after a 27-10 win over the Chargers. Let's go game balls to the best, gassers to the worst next. What impressed you? What disappointed you about the performance? And what players should be singled out positively, negatively, otherwise? 800-636-1067. It is a victory Monday on Grant and Danny.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Nobody deserves it more. Herbert pressured again. Slings and it's caught by Johnston. And now the ball is loose. Washington recovers. Johnston had it and then he fumbled it and the Commanders get a big break as Marshawn Lattimore comes up with it.
Kevin Burkhardt on America's Game of the Week on Fox with Tom Brady. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. The Commanders scored 27 unanswered from the mid-second quarter on. And they beat the Chargers 27-10 in L.A., a happy homecoming for Jaden Daniels. Debo Samuel, the star of the show in the passing game. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt goes for a 150 all-purpose out of the backfield. He'll be on the show tomorrow at 5. Today at 5, we've got Jay Gruden to break down the tape for us. And remember, we've got those tickets to My Chemical Romance coming up in 90 minutes at 4 o'clock. It is time, Danny, to give out some game balls to the best and some gassers to the worst.
What's his name? Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. You know what would be a good idea? And I mean this. A weekly radio hit. Hear me out. You and me talk to Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt every week. Would that be a good idea? Would that be something that people might be interested in? What a game for the young fella. I know the fumble happened, but so did a whole bunch of other productive stuff. He was powerful. He was quick. He displayed vision. He displayed burst. He caught the ball out of the backfield. Pets' heads were falling off. He was awesome. Two tutties.
Cliff Kingsbury thought he was really, really good. They had another wildcat look where Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, based on backfield motion, kind of comes to his side and gets behind the center, and Daniels gets behind him, and then they've got Debo in motion, and it looks like they're going to go like triple option or something wacky, and it just turns into Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt barreling downhill for a bunch of yards. They do so many different things, eye candy stuff. Unique wrinkles in the run game off of stuff they've done the week earlier or earlier in the game. Cliff is just constantly in his bag. They ran option in this game for a 3rd-and-1 that worked beautifully to get a first down. They had another play they did not. I'm going to have to find this because it's one of those things I don't know how many people noticed it, but it was the thing that I always want teams to do. They had a designed run for Jaden off the right side, and then Debo on the sideline just kind of comes back a couple of yards, and he's waiting for a, like one of these thrown laterals, like a rugby play, where Jaden, as he, you know, if there's nothing there, almost like an option, could just sling it out to the field to Debo, and then he could catch the ball and barrel downhill. Put that one in your back pocket, because that's coming back at some point. There's just these little things, right? It's a really good defense you're playing. I thought having a designed run on the second play of the game was also tremendous. And the reason why was, number one, it shows everybody, we're not worried about this knee, so settle down. But secondly, the Chargers have done a terrible job defending quarterback runs all year, and you show that right as soon as you get off the bus, you're showing that to say, you better account for this guy, because he can run today. I think it helps your traditional running game with Kroski Merritt. I think it helps your passing game to get Jaden going. He ran for 40 yards in the game, about five a pop. Cliff had a great day.
Debo. Oh, bleep, Debo coming. My God, is he awesome. I love Debo Samuel. I was thrilled with the transaction. That's a great move. I would give up another fifth rounder if they asked me. I'd do it right now, sight unseen. 8 for 96 and a touchdown, a long of 22. He is not a deep threat. He is not a take the top off the defense guy. Everything short of that, though, he is. He is a weapon. Even if he's not getting the football, he demands attention. That level of skill and power and toughness, and Cliff Kingsbury's doing the right thing where you just invent ways to get good guys the football. Like, too many years, too many offensive coordinators have been going, well, he lines up outside. I don't know what else to do because they're doubling him. You don't do that. You do what Kingsbury does with Debo Samuel. It's a different way every time. It requires a lot of the player, but a guy with that skill set can do it, and he is doing it for this offense. He is the engine.
Matt Gay has made 8 consecutive field goals. He's now 9 of 12 on the season. Bobby Wagner, 14 tackles. In the box, traditionally kind of between the tackles, getting people on the ground, not asked to do a lot in space. Better plan, better execution, and getting him into areas where he can thrive. And I thought he did really, really well. Quan Martin, forced fumble, changed the world. From 10-0, could have been 17-0, to 10-7. Without you, where are the Washington Commanders today? Mikey Sanders still, back-to-back weeks with an interception. 2 straight weeks where you've noticed Mikey Sanders still making a huge play. He was headed for a gasser. In fact, I'll give him a quick gasser. On special teams, Mikey Sanders still jumping off sides. But the net balance was positive in the game, and I'll do one more. How in the hell did Luke McCaffrey catch that pass? 50-yard deep post with a guy literally tackling him as he's catching it. Concentration, I guess, is the answer. That was an incredible play.
This idiot, this jackass, this bloviating, self-important, red-cheeked loser on the radio thought that the Chargers would dominate Washington and said as much. That guy's stupid. And you tell him I said so. Randy Douya, I think the idiot's name is. Gasser for that guy.
Jalen Lane, 3rd and 16, small window. I think receivers who barely get opportunities can be likened into somewhat analogous to hitters that never get to play or get at bats. I actually think it's a lot harder when you're just kind of throwing 1 or 2 footballs.
Great analogy. Right on. Yep.
You don't get to get in rhythm. You don't get to really feel the game and the flow of things. It's 2 targets basically a week right now for guys like Luke and Lane. And you're just supposed to make the play when you get the chance, or everyone hates your guts and thinks you can't play. What a catch by Jalen Lane. And in a big-time spot to get the boys going.
Dorrance Armstrong. Okay, Dorrance Armstrong. Go ahead and have 2 more sacks, buddy. Is that 5 through 5 games? How about a couple career highs on the horizon for Dorrance Armstrong? Continuing his hotness. Dorrance Armstrong hot right now. Coming from the postseason, carrying it over to right now. That dude is balling.
I'll split a game ball. Von Miller and Jacob Martin. Because they split sacks constantly. Von Miller, much better game or more noticeable game. I'm a little bit salty, Danny, because I called a 2-sack Von Miller game.
You did
last
call
week.
That.
I didn't get it.
No.
I got a 1.5 sack game because he got gypped out of a half
I think
sack.
You need to give. I think you need to get credit.
I don't
for
get
that.
Any credit. I said he would.
Who
have,
decides? Can we decide?
Well, the stat box. The stat box?
Yeah.
What's the stat box?
It's the box of stats.
Okay. The stat box decides, and it says he did not have 2 sacks. I said he would have 2. He had 1.5.
Yeah.
By the way, Jacob Martin's my guy. He likes to like skateboard and listen to Avril Lavigne and they just like wear trucker hats yep. that are camo. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on there. Yep. Baggy jeans, mm-hmm. JNCOs or something. That guy is cool, but he's also a good football player. When they sign him, I'm like looking at his stat box from his career, like with the Bears and like 11 other teams in 6 years. And I'm like, yeah, this guy won't make the team. Jacob Martin can play. I like watching him as a pass rusher. He is a hustle double in waiting.
Listen, it's not your fault that you're Chris Moore. Like, it's not the plan. It was never going to be the plan. It's not supposed to be the plan. It shouldn't be happening. It's the Reed Dowdy corollary. You don't blame Reed Dowdy for being Reed Dowdy. When Jaden does the magical thing and he turns badness into greatness.
That's probably his best play of the day.
And but it's not like he threw it badly. He put it just right there. Ah, it's in those hands. Touchdown, it's so important. Those touchdowns are so important. It's the most important thing. It's that football. You got to hold that football. When he puts it there, you got to hold it. Not a remarkable catch, not a game changer, not a how did he come down with that one, guys? Let's go to the replay. Ah, it's right there. That's for a touchdown. It's the most important thing you can do on the field. It's the number one thing, and it's your job, and he did it for you. Just catch the ball, man. That's what I got.
It what that play was, have you ever, you've left your car somewhere, okay, overnight, yep. Maybe just trying to be responsible or whatever. And so the next morning, you need your buddy to help you get back to your car, okay? Jaden Daniels drove to your house. You got in his car. He drove you to the vehicle 27 miles away. You get there. You get out. You didn't bring your keys. Daniels did everything. He put in so much work. He helped you so much. All you have to do is bring your keys. Just accept this.
Just make a little house.
Wonderful gift that I'm giving you.
Just like pretend that you're going to get some water from a faucet. Okay? Put your hands together. Cup them. Cup those hands. And then just go right there. And the ball's going to hit you right there.
Yeah, that was a great play. I also loved, he made a really, really good throw to Debo. It was like a moon ball on the goal line where he was trying to throw a touchdown, and it was like a broken up play. And he was so well covered, I'm like, there's no chance this is going to be a score. And it almost was because Daniels made a great throw. There were a few of those in the game where you go, he deserved a little better on that play. The shades of the Bengals play at the end of the game, making a play very few quarterbacks can make on the road to put a team away with the 4th-and-7 call, which was awesome. That was great coaching, by the way. 4th down, you either go for that, and if you don't get it, they've got to go basically 92 yards or whatever, down by 10. Or you could kick it and make it 13, but no.
Because it's a two-score game regardless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's just go for it, see if we score here. If you don't, then they got to go further with less time. So that I just thought it was really smart, rare that you see that kind of thinking, but they did all the right things there. Let's go to the phones. Mark is in Landover Hills on Grant and Danny. What's up, Mark?
Top of the day to you, gentlemen. Great show.
Buddy.
Hey, my gasser has got to be for Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive line and tight ends and wide receivers and the blocking schemes and situating Bill to perform at a high level for the team and himself and showing people once again that the guys with their hands in the dirt, that's where the games are won and lost, fellas. Those guys in the trenches, man, and I know you got other people calling. Hey, you guys make sure.
Appreciate
you, dude. Yeah, the O-line. I think he said Gasser, he probably meant game ball.
I think he's going game ball there.
But the O-line I thought was sensational.
That'd be tough to make them run a lap after
he's
yesterday.
Like, everybody that blocks so well for all the running holes and Merritt and everybody.
They dominated
Gasser.
The line of scrimmage. Go run a lap.
That group was good.
Bargov and Gaithersburg, you're on G&D. Game ball and Gasser.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, only Gasser, Chris Moore, for obvious reasons. I want to give kudos to the coaching staff. You know, both coordinators were seeing the matrix slowed down, really conducting the orchestra in a zone. Defense proved to be a smart buy low distressed asset after the Falcons in the first quarter of this game. So shout out to them for bouncing back. We need that pass rush and the opportunistic turnovers. That's really crucial for us.
And they had it in this game.
That's right.
Pass rush in spades, A-plus effort there, and you got 2 takeaways for the first time all season. We're going to talk in the 4 o'clock hour about the defense. Did they turn a corner? Do you feel better about them? How much of this was them figuring some things out? How much was just taking advantage of a horrific Chargers, injury-riddled offensive front that's not really NFL caliber when you played them yesterday? Not who you play, but when you play them kind of thing. We'll get into that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, but I know this, after the performance in Atlanta, to have a 10-point game defensively where you don't allow a point in the last 3 quarters. I mean, the Chargers scored 3 points with a field goal from 55 at 2:57 to go in the first. From that point on, they didn't score again. And I think you would have gotten odds to become rich today on that, on a sports book somewhere, if you would have bet it. Did they solve something on the road? They had started terribly in their first 2 games, and then in this game, it was an equally as bad start when they were down 10-0 and the Chargers were driving. Did they figure something out in that regard moving forward after getting their first road win? We'll get into that next on Grant and Danny.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Was one of two Bill touchdowns yesterday. Looking forward to chatting with him at 5 tomorrow. We've got Jay Gruden at 5 today and My Chemical Romance tickets at 4 o'clock that will be given away. Busy week for your boys out and about. So here's the deal. Caps fans, Wednesday, leading up to puck drop on a brand new season. It'll be a Caps-heavy, football-heavy show. We're going to double dip, but we're going to be in D.C., at City Tap House, where we've had some great crowds and a lot of energy.
Love that place, man.
Before Caps games, the food is incredible. The environment's awesome. And it's in the shadows of Capital One Arena, right outside the building. So we're going over there again on Wednesday. We were there for the OV watch, basically.
Mm-hmm.
As he was getting closer and closer to Gretzky's record, we were doing a lot of shows over there, and Caps fans were coming out in droves. So we're going to be over there live from 2 to 6:30 on Wednesday, ahead of the kickoff of a brand new Cap season on Wednesday night against the Bruins. And then we do have a Friday field trip this week at Char Bar. We were just there a couple weeks ago. This is a beautiful new restaurant and bar at the brand new JW Marriott out in Reston. And this bar is incredible.
I cannot say enough good things about it. Like, I can't. It is, first of all, it's gorgeous.
I know you're excited to get back out there.
Well, I'm saying this in a good way.
Because there's like two things left on the menu that you didn't eat.
That I didn't have yet.
And my guess is that you're going to polish those
off. Yes, I didn't eat the cheeseburger last time, which is what's coming. But I'm saying this in a good way. When I first set foot in there, I feel like I shouldn't be there. Does that make sense? I go, this place is amazing. Are you sure you want me? Like, are you sure that old Randy Nouillet is welcome here? It is awesome. The food is incredible. The bar's right there. The staff is world class. That place rules. Can't wait.
Wednesday, Caps fans, City Tap House in D.C. If you're going to the game, rocking your red, come on by before you go over to the arena. We'll be there all show long, 2 to 6:30. And then Friday, back out in Reston at the JW Marriott, we will be hanging out at Char Bar, which is just a beautiful, beautiful new power lunch spot out there, which is very, very cool. All right, did they fix their problems on the road? I guess that's one of my questions. It's odd to say no after you win 27-10 against the Rams, but part of the problem I've had with their road games, Danny, in Green Bay, you saw this. In Atlanta, you saw this. And then we forget, but you definitely saw it for a quarter and a half or so yesterday, the lifeless starts, the energyless beginnings, the sluggish offensive performances in the opening drives yesterday, and defensively having no answers, coming out and giving up drives and points and some bad penalties to extend drives. I mean, these are themes that have now taken place in not one or two, but three road games to start. Because of how they responded, they got punched in the mouth and they tasted blood and they swallowed it and they punched back and they won that bout. No doubt about it. So I feel better about the reaction, and maybe like they figured something out, they solved it, because we saw them play a half of football to end this game, outscoring their opponent 17-0 yesterday. That makes you think on the road maybe they found a way to make their game portable. But I am still worried about road starts.
I am too.
They're in Dallas in 2 weeks. Why would I be confident that they just come out and jump on the Cowboys? They haven't done it yet.
No, they haven't. And I think that's okay. A day after a win, nobody wants to hear anything but how awesome everything is, right? But as you know, on this show, we'll say we're right, we're wrong, et cetera. We try to call balls and strikes. They were a couple of miscues from the Chargers and a 50-50 proposition, which is a forced fumble. Sometimes you get back, sometimes you don't. Away from it being 17-0 or, you know, a punt return for a touchdown had nothing to do with their effort.
You're
right?
On your way to getting blown out.
Yeah, the other team was way better than you to start the game through the middle of the second quarter. Then you turned it on. Then you were the better team. And you mud stomped them. You deserve credit for that. The Chargers opened the door, and Washington stormed through it. They won the game. They deserved to win the game. I got no problem taking that win. It's not one of those, like, I'm going to get out of there somehow. No. They were the better team. They won it. But they didn't start that way. They started off easily the second-best team. Think about it. Herbert was, even though he was harassed, there was still some pressure. If he got the pass off, dudes were open. Wide open Chargers. Catching and running. And Keenan Allen is bounding through your secondary like a gazelle. That guy, who's a million years old and you know, was barely used in Chicago, that guy looked like a 25-year-old Keenan Allen. They were crushing Washington in that way. And once the turnovers happened, or once the, you know, some of the bad plays by the Chargers started to mount, Washington turned the tide, got all the momentum, then got their feet underneath them. So I'm hoping that's the beginning of, hey, we're capable of that. Let's just start the game that way. But no, given the most recent sample, I don't know that their quote-unquote road woes are solved.
I would agree with that. I think there's a chance that, in fact, they are not. And that is something that, you know, they're going to have to continue to put a focus on and an emphasis on, finding a way to start faster. Dan Quinn, in his press conference yesterday, suggested that going out there when they did, which was Thursday, to have their Friday practice ended up being really helpful. And he thanked Josh Harris. I think that was code word for spending the extra money to be out there longer and do what they had to do to get set up for a Friday practice. He said it was their best Friday practice of the year, and it sounded like he knew they were going to play really well in L.A. based on being out there for that Friday workout. Normally, teams do their Friday practice at their facility, and then they fly afterwards cross-country Friday evening. They land, they meet Friday night, they do a Saturday walkthrough. That's not what they did, and he thought it was actually a big factor for them that they were out there, they got that practice in. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's talk Jaden Daniels next. What did we think, and can we finally put the knee conversation to bed after his strong performance? We'll do that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.